This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We will get to the Biden comments. He made a lot of them. We'll get to all the Biden stuff this hour and talk about many, many, many things. But you know what time it is, don't you? It's the start of hour two on a Monday. And that means it's the start of Medal of Honor Monday. Every single Monday at this time, we take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. I want to remind everyone that not only can you email in suggestions if you have ones you like, many, many, many people have, there's a long backlog, but you can email them anyway. We don't throw them away. But you can do this with people in your own life. It's not like I own it or something. I didn't do any of these deeds. I'm not one of these guys. We can all start to do this. In your school, if you're a teacher, you can do it. It's not political. It's not controversial. On your job site, Sunday school, little league team, as a parent, why not read these? Look at this one. This is a great one. Jesse, after listening to your show for a while, I got my supervisor to start reading citations. Now, every Wednesday, we start off our toolbox meeting with a Medal of Honor citation. I reached out to the Medal of Honor Society and found a recipient that lived within driving distance. Today, Mr. Gary Michael Rose came to our shop and told his story in person. It was an amazing experience. Thanks for reading the citations like you do. Could you share his story one Monday with your audience? I've attached a picture I got to take with him. It was awesome. His name is Robert. How freaking cool is that? They had this dude show up and tell the story in person. You never know what doors may open for you. Without further ado, this was from Vietnam, a Mr. Sergeant Gary Michael Ross. Take it away for us.
Ready? Aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
Sergeant Gary Michael Rose. Sorry about that. Gary Michael Rose. Anyway, here it is. Sergeant Gary Michael Rose distinguished himself by acts of gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as a Special Forces medic with a company-sized exploitation force, 5th Special Forces Group, 1st Special Forces between the 11th and 14th of September 1970. Sergeant Rose's company was continuously engaged by a well-armed and numerically superior hostile force deep in enemy-controlled territory. Enemy B-40 rockets and mortar rounds rained down while the adversary sprayed the area with small arms and machine gun fire, wounding many and forcing everyone to seek cover. Sergeant Rose, braving the hail of bullets, sprinted 50 meters to a wounded soldier's side. He then used his own body to protect the casualty from further injury while treating his wounds. After stabilizing the casualty, Sergeant Rose carried him through the bullet-ridden combat zone to protective cover. As the enemy accelerated the attack, Sergeant Rose continuously exposed himself to intense fire as he fearlessly moved from casualty to casualty, administering life-saving aid. A B-40 rocket impacted just meters from Sergeant Rose, knocking him from his feet and injuring his head, hand, and foot. Ignoring his wounds, Sergeant Rose struggled to his feet and continued to render aid to the other injured soldiers. During an attempted medevac, Sergeant Rose again exposed himself to enemy fire as he attempted to hoist wounded personnel up to the hovering helicopter, which was unable to land due to unsustainable terrain. The medevac mission was aborted due to the intense enemy fire, and the helicopter crashed a few miles away due to the enemy fire sustained during the attempted extraction. Over the next 2 days, Sergeant Rose continued to expose himself to enemy fire in order to treat the wounded, estimated to be half the company's personnel. on September 14th during the company's eventual helicopter extraction, the enemy launched a full-scale offensive. Sergeant Rose, after loading wounded personnel onto the first set of extraction helicopters, returned to the outer perimeter under enemy fire, carrying friendly casualties and moving wounded personnel to more secure positions until they could be evacuated. He then returned to the perimeter to help repel the enemy until the final extraction helicopter arrived. As the final helicopter was loaded, the enemy began to overrun the company's position, and the helicopter's Marine door gunner was shot in the neck. Sergeant Rose instantly administered the critical medical treatment on board the helicopter, saving the Marine's life. The helicopter carrying Sergeant Rose crashed several hundred meters from the evacuation point, further injuring Sergeant Rose and the personnel on board. Despite his numerous wounds from the past 3 days, Sergeant Rose continued to pull and carry unconscious and wounded personnel out of the burning wreckage and continued to administer aid to the wounded until another extraction helicopter arrived. Sergeant Rose's extraordinary heroism and selflessness above and beyond the call of duty were critical to saving numerous lives over that 4-day time period. His actions are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, the First Special Forces, and the United States Army. Not too shabby, huh? Not too shabby at all. Old Sergeant Rose was a full-grown man. And that is Medal of Honor Monday. Let's do a couple emails before we do the Biden talk, the Garland talk, and everything else. Jesse, he said, "Dear Community College Dropout, I worked in the medical department of an area prison. We had 1,200 male inmates. We once did a survey of inmates who were veterans, of which there were 150 or so. It broke down like this. 69 from the Army, 41 from the Marines, 40 from the Navy, 0 from the Air Force. How do you explain this? Is it just that the Air Force enlists smarter, more socially decent people?" He signs his name Air Force Dork John. "Well, no, John. They're over at the women's prison. J. Kel, I'm watching weather go through Houston right now and wondering if you ever experienced a tornado." No. And I've experienced most natural disasters of one kind or another. Tornadoes, one I have not. And it's one I don't want to, because I've flirted with tornadoes before, meaning we've had tornado warnings in my area and you can hear the sirens going off and you get that eerie feel in the air. I've been there. I've been close to tornadoes. Like, they were just blowing out. They were blowing out windows in Houston and knocking over power poles. I was probably 20 miles away at the time. So I've been in the vicinity. I've never experienced one. I have watched the movie Twister, though, so I'm pretty sure I know what to do whenever something happens. What, Chris? Jesse, none of my Democrat neighbors put out the U.S. flag anymore for anything. Do you recommend I stick one of those 2-foot-tall flags in their lawns for Memorial Day? They don't want to be respectful, but they don't mind taking it off of work. Buddy, everyone, listen. Let me talk to you. I understand that people think a lot of what I say might be just for radio purposes or something like that. You should understand that if you hang out with me privately, and maybe you will one day, that I am the exact same way in person. I was just at a big party in our neighborhood on Saturday, and they decided they wanted to start in with me on politics, and they should not have done that. And I've said the exact same thing to them, to my friends, that I do to you. Democrats hate America. They do. They genuinely do. They despise it. It's ingrained in them. They had to be shamed to fly the flag. You ask a common Democrat if they are all about the politics now in sports, they will respond to you oftentimes that sports were already political because they sang the anthem and had the military there. How could the anthem be political? Well, let me explain how the anthem can be political. If one party hates the country, the anthem becomes political. Now, doesn't it? All of a sudden, it becomes divisive. How could one party hate the military? Well, if one party hates the country the military defends, then the military becomes political. Here, let me introduce you to your local Democrat when he sees American flags at the beach.
I'm here enjoying a nice day at the beach with my kids. And I turn around. I got these flags planted here on the beach by these MAGA. Listen, this is all America.
How could this be? Why could this be? This is actually going to tie us directly into Joe Biden's speech. Joe Biden gave a long one. It was horrific, but man, did he give us all kinds of meat and potatoes. Let's dig into those meat and potatoes, shall we? But first, let's dig into, well, this wonderful, wonderful email here. Jesse, dear Jay Steele, who occasionally masquerades as pink flowers, what she said. 20 years ago, my now ex-husband and I lost the baby who would have been our second son and third child. I just saved two babies in the name of the one who I still mourn privately to this day. Thank you for introducing me to this wonderful organization. Please know that I often pray for you and your wife, knowing that you lost a baby too. Keep up the good fight with your dime right by your side. All my best. Candy, says the redhead who still has yet to key a car. Preborn, one thing I never anticipated when we started partnering with Preborn, I knew we'd save a bunch of lives, what you and Preborn would, but I never anticipated how therapeutic Preborn is for people. People give from their foundation every month. People give whenever they think about a child they lost. People give for a variety of reasons. They give in someone's name. But I just think it's awesome. I think it's awesome what a mission this has become for you, because it's always been a mission for me. It always has been, always will be. Save a baby's life tonight. $28 buys an ultrasound that'll save that baby's life. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give it. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We finished up Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, you can email us whatever you want. Love, hate, death threats. Email those into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So why is it that this guy's neighbors, Democrats, won't fly flags even on Memorial Day? Why is it that Democrats don't ever fly the American flag? Anyone who's knocked on doors for political campaigns knows. A house flying an American flag may not be a Republican flag, could be anything, but it's never a Democrat. Why? Why is that? Why is it that you will see American flags on the beach, you'll not only get upset, you'll assume these people are MAGA?
I'm here enjoying a nice day at the beach with my kids, and I turn around, I get these flags planted here on the beach by these MAGA. Listen, this is all America, we know.
Let me ask you something. What's your opinion of Nazi Germany? What's your opinion on it? You big fan? Not so much of a fan? When I say Nazi Germany, are there any good things that pop into your head? Or is it all pretty dark and ugly? Okay. It's all pretty dark and ugly. I'm right there with you. It's the same thing to me. Yeah. Why is it dark and ugly? Why? Well, because they were horrific. Yep, they were. 100%. Yes, they were. Correct. But why do you know that? Because you've been taught that. Everything you know, you've been taught. Now, you were taught correctly. It was horrific. I'm not saying otherwise. But how do you know? You weren't there. You were not in Germany in 1930. You don't have any idea. But you learned over time, from everyone and everywhere, that the Nazis were horrible. And by the way, they really were horrible. But you learned that in the movies. Have you seen even once a positive Nazi depiction in a movie? No, of course not. They're the catch-all bad guy. Of course they are. Throw that freaking stupid Nazi swastika on their arm. You just kill anyone you want. It's the go-to bad guy. What do American textbooks say about Nazis? Horrible, bad, horrible. Movie. No matter what you do, Nazis are bad. Nazis are bad. Nazis are bad. And so what you have is a situation where you have learned to despise a group of people in a period of time. And I have as well. And I do freaking despise them. Ugh, man, you want to dig into some really ugly. Go read the book Bloodlands if you're ever looking for a really dark read where you can learn about communist and Nazi atrocities in one book. Very, very ugly. Not for kids. But you really want to hate Nazis even more? Go read Bloodlands. But either way, you learned it. You learned it. Over time, the books you read, the teachers you learned from, the movies you watch, your culture has taught you over time that Nazi Germany was an evil place and Nazis were evil. So, if you showed up at the beach with your family this weekend, taking the family down to Myrtle Beach or wherever you're going, got a cooler full of Gatorades and stuff, a couple beers in there, got an umbrella, and you and the kiddos are set up and you're building your little sandcastles and you turn around and a couple dudes are plopping down on the beach with a big old Nazi flag. Might affect your day. Like, I'm not saying you're going to grab your kids and run off the beach, but you're going to be talking to your wife, your husband about it. Hey, honey, do you see this? Hey, should we move up the beach? I mean, we have friggin' Nazis behind us. Maybe we should move, right? Of course, that's the same conversation I would have with my wife. Okay, clearly this guy has got a couple screws loose. Now, obviously, I'm not in any way comparing Nazi Germany to America. I'm really not, but I am trying to get this through to you. If you're a Democrat, you have immersed yourself in a culture where everyone in your life, every institution in your life from the earliest time has done nothing but talk to you about all the ways this country sucks. And now you're at a place where you look at the country in the exact same way most people look at Nazi Germany. I've tried to get this point across. Democrat culture is anti-American culture. And everywhere a Democrat turns, where they consume the news, where they read things, the movies they watch, that doesn't matter. Everywhere they turn, they are taught a different version of how bad America sucks. This country sucks. They're still trying to ban books and erase black history.
I never imagined that in 2024 there'd be folks waiting to ban books in America. What in God's name is that about? Not only that, they're trying to erase black history. Literally. They're wrong. They don't understand. Black history is American history.
If you're a human being, we'll make it a black person since that's who he was talking to today. If you're a black person, you grew up in a Democrat house, mom is a Democrat, dad was a Democrat, grandparents were a Democrat, you only listen to Democrat music, all rap music, they're all Democrats. When you turn on the news or if you hear any news, you only got it from MSNBC, CBS, your local politicians, they're all Democrats. They've all told you Republicans are Nazis. Joe Biden got up and told you Republicans are trying to ban books. America's evil. America wants to erase black history. Well, then you might see an American flag and think, ugh. Who are these Nazis? Democrats hate America. The same way you and I hate pain. That's what Relief Factor is here for. Relief Factor can help with the pain. They can't help with the hatred of America. But maybe in a way they can. Think about this, Chris. What, Chris? Think about this. You haven't thought about it through. If you are a piece of trash who hates America, that hatred only gets worse when you're in pain. But you start taking Relief Factor with natural ingredients, every single day you're taking Relief Factor, your pain's getting better. Maybe you'll hate America less. Maybe in its own way, Relief Factor's fighting for all of us. But Relief Factor's for you. It's for me. It's how normal people can deal with pain without grabbing ibuprofen, without wrecking your liver and your kidneys. Go pick up some Relief Factor. You will never stop. Believe me, this stuff is incredible. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF, or you can go to relieffactor.com. Testimonial after testimonial. This thing will bless you, I'm telling you. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Okay, now let's get back to it. Biden gave some long speech today, and there's so much in there. Look,
Joe, but you're combining a couple different things when you talk about this speech Joe Biden gave today. None of this is surprising to you, but there are a few different factors at play. One, Joe Biden is suffering badly in the polls, and they're very, very worried about black support. So that automatically is going to give you more over-the-top rhetoric than even you normally would get from Democrats in an election year. That's one. Two, Joe Biden is a world-class liar. Most people, even many politicians, they can feel, they're still capable of feeling some level of shame. But Joe Biden has been a sociopath and the biggest liar I've ever seen for 30 years. This is not a new dementia thing. He's always been like this. Remember that old video? We've played it for you before. That old audio, Chris, grab that old audio. I think it was from the 70s. If not, it was 1980, of Joe Biden yelling at a reporter, telling him he has a higher IQ than they do. And he finished like top in his class in law school. And it's part of the audio that you'll get whenever Chris finds it. It's no rush, but it sunk his presidency. And the political reporters afterwards, you'll hear them. They come on, they chime in afterwards. They talk about just the blatant facts that none of that stuff is true. Like Joe Biden didn't do any of that stuff. So you have two different things. Joe Biden's losing in the polls and losing black people. And then Joe Biden is a world-class liar. Not an ounce of shame. Probably no soul at all. And that's why you get things like this.
In America, we're all created equal. Extremists close the doors of opportunity. Strike down affirmative action. Attack the values of diversity, equality, and inclusion. I never thought when I was graduating in 1968, as your honoree just was, I never thought I'd be in a present of time when there's a national effort to ban books. Not to write history, but to erase history. They don't see you in the future of America, but they're wrong. To me, we make history, not erase it. We know black history is American history.
It's ugly. Well, Joe Biden, he can say things, you know, horrible things, because he's Joe Biden, and that's just who he is.
I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. Went back to law school, and in fact ended up in the top half of my class. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only needed 123 credits.
Biden now concedes he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class, that he does not have 3 degrees from college, and that he was not named outstanding political science student in college.
Newsweek says Biden actually went to school on a half scholarship, ended up near the bottom of his class, and won only 1 degree, not 3.
Joe Biden ranked 76th in a class of 85 at the University of Syracuse Law School. I mean, this guy comes off this whole thing as a flyweight.
Now Biden says Newsweek is right. His memory had failed him.
And I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
Joe Biden was victimized by the truth.
Bye-bye Biden. He may not know it yet, but I think this is going to be very difficult for him to recover.
Is Joe Biden dead?
That was 50 years ago. It's just who he is. He can't help it. So moving past that, I want to talk about this because obviously this was part of his black outreach thing. Don't worry. We're still going to keep giving out handouts. Don't worry.
The values of diversity, equity, and inclusion are the core strength of America.
See, this is why your Democrat friend hates America. This is why your liberal Aunt Peggy hates America. You see, America does have, or had, it had a culture, and America had something that was unique, that made America stand out. America stood out because America was based on freedom from government. Here in this country, I realize freedom's just a word we all spout out there now, and very few people actually understand what it means.
You know, freedom is not free.
But freedom does mean something. It means the government can't tell you what to do, where to go, what to say, what you can't say, what you can and can't own, what to drive. In most countries around the world, that's not the case. In America, that can't happen here. And that's what America meant. Freedom from government. But what if I don't like that? What if that's not my belief system? Well, then what I have to do is I have to redefine what America is in order to suit my purposes. If let's say you want to coach the local Little League team, you've been coaching the local Little League team. I want to take over as the manager of the Little League team. You've been teaching the kids about nutrition, proper nutrition. Hey, I need you guys to drink more water at night. Get some protein in your body. I need you strong. I need you ready for practice. Water, protein, water, protein. Eat your veggies. Get strong, get strong, get strong, get strong. And so your team, a big part of your team is health. We are going to be bigger, stronger, faster because we're healthier. We do the better things. But what if I don't really want to win? I mean, I want to be the manager, but I don't want to win. Who wants to win? That takes too much effort. Forget about all that. So what I have to do when I come in as manager is I have to change the entire basis for your team. Protein, water, kids, forget all that. Every night when you get home from practice, you eat a gallon of vanilla ice cream. Every single night. In fact, I don't even want you drinking water. You just drink soda at all times. I have to change the culture and redefine the culture of the Little League team if I truly want to destroy it the way I want it destroyed. The reason your liberal Aunt Peggy hates America is because Democrats have spent years, decades, redefining what this country is for some. For many, they knew they couldn't do that, so they just watered it down. Oh, America's just for everybody. We're multicultural. We're a melting pot. America's a melting pot. We really don't stand for anything. Anything goes here, just anything. They've done that for years. Watering it down. Watering it down. Limited government. What are you talking about, limited government? We want the government huge. We want the government to control everything and tell everyone whatever they want. So you must spend ages redefining what America is. And now you have this commie gobbledygook that is repeated across the country, including by more Republicans than I can count. Diversity's our strength. Diversity's our strength. Why don't you shove that? Diversity's not our strength. Our strength in this country is that we were founded by nuclear families who believe the government should be small. Our strength has been the fact that our people were free. Diversity didn't have a daggone thing to do about it. In fact, it's diversity that ruined it. You brought in a bunch of people from around the world who don't have any appreciation for limited government, any appreciation for freedom at all. They show up here and they go vote for the next welfare check. And then you, since you've redefined the country, then you get up and say crap like this.
That is the diversity, equity, and inclusion are the core strength of America.
Wrong. It's, of course, the weakness of America. But because that's what the Democrat Party is, and it's what they promote, it's what they've redefined and managed to redefine in the minds of so many people. Diversity is not our strength. Diversity is nobody's strength. Diversity has never been a strength. Unity in a common purpose, common values, that is strength. Take your diversity and wipe your rear end with it. Now, we're going to move on and do some emails. I accidentally got myself fired up there. I mean, we could keep making fun of Joe.
When I was vice president, things were kind of bad during the pandemic. And what happened was...
When I was vice president, they were bad during the pandemic. Man, my timeline must be way different than Joe's. Anyway, what's happening is he's losing his mind. I want your mind to be sharp, razor sharp. Do you want this?
But my focus is just stay focused.
Start taking a male vitality stack from Chalk, gentlemen. It's time for your focus to stay focused. It is time. Male vitality stacks from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements 20% increase in your testosterone levels in 90 days with natural supplements. Stop jamming needles into your arm. Stop the big pharma garbage. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. Go get a male vitality stack and take it for 3 months and tell me how you feel. Email me. I love your Chalk emails. They make my day. Chalk.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll get to some emails next.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday. Merrick Garland said, before I play this thing, Merrick Garland, of course, has been told by Congress he has to hand over the audio tapes of Joe Biden's deposition with that special counsel, Robert Hur. Remember, Robert Hur was the one who came out and said, he came out and said, well, well, he got, he committed a lot of crimes. He's just so old. He's just so, so old that I don't think we can prosecute. And this is when it came out that Joe Biden couldn't remember things, couldn't remember the year his son died. And we know that the Biden White House, that they edit transcripts of things. Like, remember, I played this earlier when Joe Biden said this.
And when I was vice president, things were kind of bad during the pandemic.
And the White House, they had to make an official transcript of that, as they always do. They edited what he said so he didn't look bad. And they've been caught doing this repeatedly. Joe Biden he'll do things like it says pause on the teleprompter when he's supposed to pause. But because he has no mind anymore, he reads the word pause. When they put out the transcript, people will go through it because they're all looking for it now. And they'll delete that part where he said pause. So the White House, they lie about the transcripts. Again, everything's been corrupted. This should not even be something that's an option, but everything's been corrupted. So the House, they said, okay, well, we've seen the transcripts of the deposition. I think you're probably lying like you are about everything else. You need to give us the actual audio tapes. We need to hear the audio. Merrick Garland is the most political attorney general ever. He's such a goober that you really don't think about him this way. But Merrick Garland, when it comes to abuse of his position, is probably the most evil man in America. Honestly, what he does is actually significantly worse than what Joe Biden does. Joe Biden kind of has to wear two hats, as all presidents do. Yes, he has to be the president of the United States of America, but he's also the highest ranking Democrat in the country. He's King Democrat, you know, just like Trump was when he was Republican. When he was president, he was King Republican. So Joe Biden, at least you can make the argument, has to wear two hats. Merrick Garland, there aren't two hats. The Attorney General is the top law enforcement officer in the United States of America. If that guy decides to turn his job into a political enforcement job, it's evil beyond all comprehension. And that's what Merrick Garland has done. So Merrick Garland won't give the House the tapes. And he drops a little line in here with his weird voice like this. He drops a line in here that is so revealing of what they've done and why they did what they did. Listen to it. I want you to listen.
The Justice Department is a fundamental institution of our democracy. People depend.
We're not a democracy. We're not a democracy.
And on us to ensure that our investigations and our prosecutions are conducted according to the facts and the law and without political influence. We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests. But this is not one.
Did you hear it? Hey, we've been over backwards to make sure these people have gotten responses to their legitimate requests. But this isn't one. So did you see the power he just took on for himself? And it's quite an admission. Now Merrick Garland has determined that he, Merrick Garland, gets to decide what is and what is not legitimate. And that's really the ultimate win, isn't it? If you manage to institutionalize your evil into the system, you just make it part of the programming, part of the system, well, you find yourself in quite a pickle. And in case you're wondering, these are the people who are supposed to be opposing guys like Merrick Garland.
The DOJ is also stonewalling the House Ethics Committee and not giving over any records regarding Matt Gaetz and their investigation. Do you think that the DOJ should be giving over those records that House Ethics is?
I haven't paid any attention to that at all. I can tell you that the Department of Justice has clearly been politicized.
I haven't paid any attention to that at all. The Attorney General of the United States of America told Congress to go pound sand, that he alone is the sole decider on what is and what is not legitimate, and the Republican Speaker of the House has his head buried firmly in the sand so he never has to get his hands dirty, never has to do it. Oh, Merrick Garland, what? Never heard of the guy. Wasn't even paying attention. But back to exactly specifically what we were talking about. You see, what we've done, part of the reason our experts are so stupid, part of the reason the experts know so much less than you do about virtually every single issue is we have poisoned our institutions. They've taken over the institutions. And so now, yes, you can get accredited by our institutions, but the institutions themselves are so shattered and broken that if you are accredited by an institution today, that probably is a gigantic red flag. And this is all of the institutions today. They have managed to take their sick, despicable worldview, and instead of just being people who speak on behalf of that worldview or debate on behalf of that worldview, they have taken that worldview and they've made it part of America's institutional fabric. So now it gives them complete freedom to say and do whatever they want. After all, Harvard said I was right. No, maybe you didn't see. CNN just did a report on it. You see, once you seize the institutions, what it gets you is legitimacy. Legitimizing insanity. That's really what the American communist has done when he's taken over institution after institution after institution. He's found a way to make his insanity legitimate, accredited. You want a great example of this? Man, maybe the all-time great example of this? I'll give it to you next.
This is an iHeart podcast.